David, how you doing?
Not too bad, Jason. How are you?
Good. I read your article with interest. I had heard the Hamilton things before, and how Edmonton had, from my understanding, when I talked to people, Edmonton had went to the Cops Coliseum directly, trying, to get the lease and run the building. More so because they thought, honestly, they were going to get in the business of running facilities and having concerts and different things. And not so much the leverage, because realistically, you and I know that, well, they might have wanted to use Hamilton and probably threatened to use it as leverage. We all know the Leafs wouldn't have let them just move a team into Hamilton.
Well, yeah. I mean, the threat is always, often there's not a whole lot of substance to it. If Edmonton fans had sat and thought about it for a minute, if it had ever come up that, well, wait a minute, they need a 75% vote of the 30 NHL owners. Mm-hmm. To do this, and as we've seen in this whole unending Phoenix saga, that Gary Bettman and company just aren't ones to sit around and say, oh, you want to move your team, go ahead. However, if you look at it historically, and Hamilton has always been willing to serve as the lever in these matters, hockey owners in time-honored fashion have always used other cities, and Hamilton's been used time and time again. Peter Pocklington kind of made a habit of it, as I recall, when they're looking for leverage, against their existing landlords, which is always the city or the county or whatever municipality controls the arena. And I have no doubt that's probably what was going to happen here. Nothing illegal, by the way, went on. It just... everything was legally okay. It's just whether or not you think it's an honorable way to go about it. Some people will say, and have said to me on Twitter, he was just being a hard-nosed, ruthless businessman. And I suppose Daryl Cates was in this instance. But in the meantime, a junior operator like Sherry Bassam got caught in the vice, and so did Hamilton, and there was an unwitting sort of other collateral damage, well, almost, in Michael Andlauer, who's the owner of the Hamilton Bulldogs, the Montreal Canadiens farm team, and, by the way, a fellow owner, NHL owner of Daryl Cates, since he's a minority owner of the Canadiens. So it was all just sort of an eye-opening saga of the way some people do business.
Yeah, it is interesting because looking at Bassam, here's a guy who, from the stories that I was reading, he's owned a lot of teams, never really having by his own money. Right, it's always been other investors and such. And the part that intrigued me the most about your story was near the end when you brought up commissioner, Mr. Branch, in the OHL. And it seemed like Mr. Branch was well aware that one of his owners was getting, money on the side to hopefully help him, which would ultimately have them relocating. How could he be completely okay with that? That seems more shady than anything.
Well, as far as Dave Branch is concerned, owners are always looking around. And the other thing in sports is owners are always borrowing money. Every team, even the rich ones, borrow money. It's the way people do business. You don't use your own money unless you absolutely cannot help it. And with interest rates being what they are these days, it's a cheap way of doing business. But until someone, actually slapped a relocation request down in front of him, Dave Branch didn't have to worry about that. What he had to worry about was making sure that one of his teams was going along okay. And here, out of the blue, Daryl Cates directly. I mean, Cates didn't send this letter through a lawyer or through another company. It was signed by him personally to Dave Branch, basically saying, "You've done a lousy job looking after making sure the Erie Otters do what I want, and I want this team, and you've got to hand it over to me." It was quite an astonishing letter, and then he ended it by saying, "Oh, by the way, here's a bunch of my buddies," and he mentioned Gary Bettman and Tom Rennie, the head of Hockey Canada, and all the other commissioners of the professional hockey leagues. It was really a sort of clumsy kind of letter, and I think Branch was quite shocked by it. And even still, when I spoke to him, a couple months later after that, he still seemed kind of gobsmacked that this guy Cates would have the effrontery to sort of talk to or write to him like that. It was all, it was, in a way, kind of amusing.
David Schultz from the Globe and Mail joins. Now, David, were you the court documents you noted about an email from Patrick LaForge, and I quote your article saying, "We are all working on our plan to get the Otters relocated to Copps Coliseum, and the Oilers will get the hockey opportunity that we have been looking for in that market." Now, the hockey opportunity, did they mean running the building? Because hockey opportunity didn't necessarily mean relocating the Oilers, would it?
Yeah, it could have meant any number of things. I think, you know, I've known Pat LaForge a long time, and he's smart enough to just confine himself in the email to saying, you know, hockey opportunity. And in this case, the direct subject at hand was getting control of the Copps Coliseum lease. And as you mentioned earlier, this wasn't Daryl Cates' first go-round mm-hmm. with Hamilton. That's why the political circles in Hamilton, I think it got out quite quickly with the insiders there that Cates was backing Sherry Bassin, or, you know, that Bassin was basically acting on behalf of Cates, because I think it was about a year or two previous to that, Cates made a more direct play for control of Copps Coliseum, Hamilton Place, the concert hall, and what became Tim Hortons Field, the new stadium. Mm-hmm. Because at that time, the city of Hamilton was planning to wind down its body known as HECFI. That's an acronym for the group that ran Hamilton Place, Copps Coliseum, and the football stadium. And they were handing it over to Global Spectrum, which is a fairly well-known U.S. arena management company. So Kate struck out in that regard, because that's a whole other story. Because when the Hamilton City Councilor started playing footsie with him on the management contract for those three big venues, that really angered Bob Young, who owns the Hamilton Tiger Cats, because yeah. he's a guy who poured all kinds of money, millions of dollars, into the Tiger Cats, and kept them from folding or moving, perhaps. And he kind of thought, you know, it would have been nice for Hamilton to let him have the management contract for the football stadium for all of his good work. But, and eventually calmer heads prevailed, and that's exactly what happened. But the other part of this story, which, you know, I didn't have room to get into, is that, yeah, there was a fair bit of silliness on the part of some Hamilton City councilors through all of this, too.
Can you, in what sense?
Well, they were, you know, going to turn their backs on a guy like Bob Young, who had saved the CFL team, had spent millions of his own dollars on the Tie Cats, and they were willing to just drop him and turn around and hand the management contract over to Daryl Cates, just on the vague chance that one day they might, you know, maybe they'd have a chance to get the Oilers. That's, you know, it was just the most naive thinking you could imagine. And then a couple of years later, they were willing to do the same thing again for Michael Andlauer, who owned the Bulldogs, and he too had poured millions of dollars of his own money into the American Hockey League team, and he had also bought a scoreboard for the old Ivor Wynne Stadium when he had an AHL outdoor game there. But this didn't mean much to some of these Hamilton councilors. They didn't care. Their eyes were, you know, all they were being swept away by sort of false visions of finally landing an NHL team, which was, you know, absolutely absurd.
Yeah, it was. It's just, I don't think that they really understand how difficult it is to get an NHL team, especially into a market that, you know, that falls in an area so close to Toronto.
Yeah, and that's the kind of thinking that NHL owners take advantage of when they're leveraging one city against another to get a sweetheart arena deal. Local politicians, far too often in my regard, don't do any research and don't understand the fact that it's very, very difficult to move a professional team. There's a lot of things that have to happen. And yet they still, you know, in Hamilton's case, this goes back 30 years. They willingly allow themselves to be used as a club against another city.
Yeah, they're so desperate to want to get a team that they maybe get blinded by the leverage fact and realize that no one's using them to actually bring their team there. They're just using them to get what they want in the market that they currently exist in. David Schultz. Now, David, I want to talk about Bassin and all of this and Erie. Do you think that Erie's going to stay long? Or, like, when Connor McDavid leaves, is there a chance that he's selling that team and they're moving?
I wouldn't be surprised. I mean, I can't say it for sure, but it, you know, it's certainly, it, in my mind, doesn't look good. I mean, Sherry Bassin, and he admits this, he needs to sell the team because he does owe that money. He owes $4.6 million to Daryl Cates, and the only way he's going to get it is to sell the team. So he's already talking to Michael Andlauer, who is, you know, as that was also mentioned in the story, he's going to move his AHL team closer to Montreal, to Laval, because they're building an arena in that city now, and when it's done, that the Bulldogs will probably move there. And, you know, the terms of the Cops Coliseum lease is such that all Michael Andlauer has to provide is a team. It doesn't specify that it has to be an AHL team. So He's talking to Sherry Bassin about buying the Otters. And there, you know, it's not clear if there's a really strong local group in Erie that is it going to be able to step up and you know, match whatever Michael Andlauer might want to pay. Andlauer said he'd also like to build a new arena in Hamilton because it's considered that Cops is pretty much, you know, an outdated, worn-out facility. And so there's a dream there of building a smaller, you know, one of those nice, small, major junior type arenas, probably seat 10,000 people, you know, and have the boxes and all that. So there's quite a few moving parts, and the Otters are drawing okay right now, about 4,700 a game. But when you compare that to cities like Kitchener and London, which are doing probably double that, there's not a real strong case there for the team to stay.
David Schultz joins us. Now, David Branch, in all of this, you mentioned how until he gets an actual relocation thing on his desk, he doesn't concern himself with it too much. But, you know, reading your article, it sounds like, you know, maybe they're closer than they think. Just because the owner has to pay Daryl Cates back the money that he loaned him. So what do you see unfolding? And is Branch concerned that Erie might lose their team? Like, when does he get involved?
Well, he'll get involved as soon as, you know, the players that are doing this, Sherry Bassin, make it clear to him that this is a possibility. Now, Branch said to me, and I quoted him in the story, as saying that he considers Erie to be a good market. Well, it may be, but is it a good market compared to a city like Hamilton, which has 500,000 people? There's a lot of people down in the Hamilton area who think that a major junior team would do far better in Hamilton than the AHL team has done. The Bulldogs have historically not drawn huge crowds to Cops Coliseum. It's called something else now. I believe it's called First Ontario Center, which is, I think, a credit union. And they think Hamilton hockey fans would be more interested in seeing a major junior team. There's also a number of teams close by that would, you know, create some pretty good rivalries. There's a team in St. Catharines, the Niagara team. There's also, you know, Kitchener's not far away. So there's that aspect to it. The other thing that was interesting is Hamilton has its own television station and its own newspaper, which would guarantee you pretty good media coverage in a large city. So there's all of these things sort of going for it. And Michael Andlauer is a very wealthy man who can get things done. So at this point, and the other thing that's worth mentioning is that it doesn't cost a lot of money to get out of that Erie lease. It's only it's based on how many years are left in the lease. But if they, for example, left at the end of this season, it would cost them just $76,000 to break a lease. There's I think about 3 years left on a lease after this season, so it's not very much money. So you add all that up, and yeah, I can see the team going to Hamilton.
76, yeah, that's peanuts.
Right. I don't know what the Erie guys were thinking when they allowed that escape clause in there, but there it is. It's it's certainly somebody like Michael Andlauer could afford to pay that.
Lastly, David, the thing, because, you know, a lot of Otter fans are like, oh, you know, you shouldn't be surprised by this. And really, they shouldn't. Like, the Otters and how they dealt with the renegotiations, they tried to use Seattle, you know, they'd float it out, you know, there had been articles before about their interest in Hamilton. They stated it was about to run the building, and I actually believe that because I think they knew better than anyone that you know, Gary Bettman, while he might want to come out and say, hey, we're going to let them go to Hamilton, I think the Toronto Maple Leafs would put up a major stink, and they weren't just going to let them relocate into a Hamilton for nothing.
Yeah, definitely. And that's why it always amazes me that most of the time, these local politicians will knuckle under in these sort of tactics, and I just shake my head because I think, you know, how could you know? Do your research. You know, it's obvious that, you know, that they're not going to stick another team in the Greater Toronto Area anytime soon, and you know, and the other thing too they have to remember is when. This always happens as well, is whenever an owner is having trouble with his lease with the city, Gary Bettman always steps in and supports the owner, and that puts the fear into the local politicians as well. But they have to remember, you know, these are tactics.
Yeah.
And so, you know, there's just, once I got into this story, there were a number of astonishing things, and, you know, another one was that, you know, you would have thought Daryl Cates might have learned something after all that public uproar about his famous visit to Seattle and his public apology. And yet, while all that was going on, and then even afterward, he was still playing footsie with Hamilton, which, you know, obviously nobody knew.
Yeah, I do think that the Hamilton one was more so they wanted the building rather than, like, I think they were probably going to try to use it as leverage, as you and I both know, but I think that the owners knew. Now, maybe they were hoping that the city council would have got scared and said, oh, okay, we'll give them everything they got. But the fact is, there was no, like, the owners were, even if they wanted to go to Hamilton, would never have been allowed to go to Hamilton.
Oh, no. But, yeah, I mean, I agree. It probably wouldn't have happened. But at the same time, they also knew that it was still a powerful weapon to use against Edmonton. Yeah. And for the mere fact that historically that sort of thing has always worked.
It has. Now, speaking of that quickly, we saw that Seattle and Vegas are now ahead of Quebec City. Do you think Quebec City is ever going to get an NHL team again?
Yeah, I do, but I don't think they are going to, you know, presuming that things work out the way most of the NHL governors hope, Quebec will get a relocated team, and at this point, the best bet is the Florida Panthers, because the right now, and Gary Bettman has said this, and he said it, you know, as recently as the weekend on the All-Star game, the priority in expansion right now is the West. They have to increase two teams in the West to make the conference's balance at six teams each. So that automatically puts Seattle and Las Vegas in the driver's seat. Although, you know, there's really nothing going on in Seattle right now with the building, which really is slowing things down for the NHL. And so Quebec is purposely never mentioned because, you know, they know, you know, it's like when the husband strays, right? He always knows the faithful wife is always going to be there. And unfortunately, that's the role sort of Quebec City is in. Everybody knows they're there, that they have this arena. They've got Pierre-Carl Peladeau, who's got oodles of money, who's going to be the owner. So that's not a big concern right now. And then when they get the Western thing settled, then they'll turn around and look at Quebec. And I think hockey fans in Quebec just have to be patient. This is not going to play out in the next 6 months. You know, you're looking at a minimum of 3 years down the road before this all gets figured out. And the season I would keep an eye on is 2017 and 18, because I believe that's the 100th anniversary of the NHL. So it would be kind of a nice marketing touch to announce a 32-team league, complete with perhaps a relocation of Florida. Who knows? I think by that time you're going to know if the Panthers are going to survive long-term in Florida or not. And that might be a good year to announce a balanced conference and sort of a settled league.
David, great work on the article. I really appreciate your time.
You're quite welcome.